All right, welcome to Young Turks election coverage. Cenk Uygur, John Ireland with you guys. This is in some ways the biggest night, in some ways the smallest night. You could argue that our election coverage tonight will be Shao. Okay, and it is coming from a Shao state. So let me explain. It's the state of Delaware that's voting tonight. That is by definition Shao. They're a very small state. There's good news in that. I'll get to that in a second. There are not very many contested races. On the other hand, why is this a big night? Because if Kerry Harris, the Just Democrat, beats Tom Carper, a corporate Democrat out of Delaware, it'll be an earthquake. So, and you will feel it. If you're anywhere near Washington, even if you're in West Virginia, you'll feel the tremors. Because this is supposed to be a sleepy night. Tom Carper, please, everybody in Washington knows Tom Carper. And Joe Biden went in and endorsed him. So, wow. Of course, there were colleagues, there were fellow senators in Delaware. Of course, Joe Biden's going to endorse him.
Yeah.
And so,
forgive him for that.
On the other hand, I have endorsed Kerry Harris. So, tomato, tomato. Okay, so. By the way, I didn't even technically endorse her. but am I on our side? Of course I'm on our side.
There might still be time.
Yeah. Okay, I technically endorse. No, the polls closed 11 minutes ago.
Too late.
So we will, the failing New York Times tells us that we'll have results in about 12 minutes. Because the polls have closed, but the results are coming in about 8:23 Eastern. well, that's the thing about repetition, right? He puts it into your head. Yeah. You know, and in our case, it's a joke, and it's funny because they're not, and he's an idiot. That repetition does work. Anyways,
yep.
So if Kerry Harris loses tonight, then it'll be the singular most unexciting election night we've ever done.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just keeping it real.
Yes.
On the other hand, like I keep telling you, if she wins, it's bananas. This election is so important that we actually sent our team down there. Ryan Grimm and Eric Beiler are at headquarters, as they were at the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez race. I mean, by the way, we don't talk about that enough. Not only did we do 34 videos about Ocasio-Cortez before her election,
including up to a year or more before the election.
That's right. But we were there at the headquarters. Why? Because we thought she could win. You don't send people to headquarters if you don't think they're going to win, right? And so, or at least have a good chance of winning. So I think Kerry has a good chance of winning. And so, two more things about that, about the relevance of that, and then talk about some other issues as well. One is that it's obvious. It's a Senate seat. Senate seats are have a bigger impact. Obviously, there's less Senate seats. There's 100 there, 435 in Congress, in the House. And that's why Washington would find it even more surprising. But the reason why we think she has a good chance of winning is Delaware is tiny, which in this case is a great advantage. Every politician, if they know what they're doing, has what they call a win number. We've talked to you about this in other election nights. So how many votes do you think you need to get to be able to win? Now, they're not always right. For example, Abdullah al-Sayed had a win number, and it turned out the number of people who voted in Michigan's primary for governor was way higher than anyone had imagined. Mm. So even though he hit his win number, the other folks got more votes. Probably Gwen Graham had a win number. She probably hit in Florida. But instead of 800 primary voters like they had in the last primary elections in the midterms in Florida, this time 1.4 million showed up.
Huge number.
So 600,000 more people showed up to vote. So, but in the case of Kerry Harris, her win number, because Delaware is so small, that it's doable. That's why I was asking you to phone bank over and over for weeks and weeks and weeks, and to volunteer for her campaign and donate to her campaign, because that is a very winnable race. But also, the Washington conventional wisdom is that a progressive like Kerry Harris, especially with not taking any corporate PAC money, couldn't possibly beat a senator. Mm-hmm. So that's why it would be an earthquake, and it would be a wonderful moment.
Yeah, now just to not have people's, I guess, hopes get too high, I mean, there's certainly reason to think that she could win. Polls have been tightening, although Carper still has the advantage, but we've also seen in a number of other races, including just a couple of days ago with Ayanna Pressley, The polls are only as accurate as the models of who's likely to turn out. And so if you can bring a bunch of people in who don't typically vote, then the polls don't necessarily have much to say about your race. So you don't necessarily have to look at the polls recently saying that she's down and think that she can't possibly close it if she does have the turnout. On the other hand, he has about as high name recognition as you can have in that state, for very good reasons. Mm-hmm. He has apparently never lost a race in more than 4 decades in politics, which is something. Not a lot of people can say that necessarily. And I believe he raised more than 10 times as much money.
Of course.
And again, not because like people were like, yeah, Tom, here's 20 bucks. It was, you know, huge sums of money being handed over because he's a known quantity and all of that. But those are also facts that you need to bear in mind as we move into the results coming in.
So to be fair to him, I don't remember the exact number. My rough recollection was that the small donors he had was about 4% of his.
I'm trying to find out.
But we'll find out and get you the exact numbers. So these guys take giant gobs of money from corporations. That's why they serve corporations. So, for example, Tom Carper takes a huge amount of money from banks. And you're going to be shocked to find out that he voted to deregulate banks along with Donald Trump.
$270,000 in the last 5 years from banks. Well, insurance is also sort of banks. That's $313,000 as well.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, just having nothing to do with that, he decided, well, I'm going to go help the bankers and deregulate them so they can take more risks with your money. Well, what a fun coincidence for Tom Carper. And coincidentally, now he has 10 times the money of his political opponent. Obviously, we've got to get money out of politics, and you all know that. Yeah. And this is sick, the way that they get bribed. Yeah. But it's starting to catch up to them. Now, as we run these uncorrupted candidates, people are kind of are sick of this situation with Tom Carper. He also voted with the drug companies. And of course, he takes huge money from the drug companies, and the list goes on and on. Tom Carper is the only Democrat who voted for Kavanaugh. So he voted for Kavanaugh when he was up for a lower federal judge position. All other Democrats voted no, and not all other Democrats aren't great guys either.
Yeah.
Okay. Carper was like, no, I like this guy who is massively pro corporation. One of the excuses that guys like Carper use is, no, it's okay. I'm in Delaware, and everybody's incorporated in Delaware, so I have to represent my constituents. I got news for you, Tom. They're not actual people. They can't vote. I know they have a lot of money, and they give it to you. And I know they're incorporated in your state. That doesn't mean that they're actually citizens.
Yeah.
So you know who's going to show up to vote today? Citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So
I had to line up behind a whole bunch of factories to vote.
And so one other thing that's very, very relevant here is, I'm keeping it real, is that in this case, given how the rest of the primaries have played out, demographics might matter a little bit. And so sometimes it's just used as an excuse after the fact, and most famously in the Ocasio-Cortez race, where all the Democrats jumped up and down, demographics, you just won basically because she's Latina. And as we showed you after the race, no, actually white people voted for her at greater rates. So that was just simply not true in her case. Mm-hmm. But in some areas, so Ayanna Pressley's district, by the way, is majority minority or minority majority, whatever you call it, right? So there are more mm-hmm. minorities in that district than there are white folks. And Andrew Gillum had a lot of African Americans show up to vote. Ayanna Pressley did, etc. So sometimes that helps a little bit, but that's not the main thing I'm talking about. This year, people have been showing up in droves to vote for women.
Yeah.
So it's not an accident that the just Democrats that won and are definitely going to Congress are Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, all women.
Yeah. Well, I read an analysis showing it broke down a whole bunch of these primary challenges that in contested primaries where there was a man and a woman on the Democratic side, controlling for as many things as they could, being a woman counted for about 7 points.
Yeah, and by so in a race like Brent Mulder versus Therese Davids, if you switch the genders, would Brent have won? My honest assessment is probably, very, very likely. Now that doesn't, it does. That's not how it works. Therese Davids won, and she's going to go
these
on.
These are trends over many races. I have no idea.
Right, but our job is to keep it real with you guys and tell you all the different factors, the factors that help us, the factors that don't help us, and what's. So if I thought it was just because she's uncorrupted, I would tell you that. right? But I want it to be just because she's uncorrupted and a wonderful progressive. Mm-hmm. But I'm being honest with you that it might help that she's also a woman.
Well, and if you recall, we were breaking down that last ad that she had where she was like, it was labeled like progressive in the ad. Like, so even there, they want that view. You know, it appears to them that they value that.
So if she wins, don't get us wrong, even if that analysis is correct, think about that for a second. 7 points is only 7 points. She's nobody knew about her. He has the best name recognition in Delaware, has never lost a race in Delaware, mm-hmm. et cetera. So she starts at a monumental disadvantage. If she wins, that means she overcame all of that, right?
Everything,
right? Now, on the other hand, could 7 points make a difference? It could, and I'd rather have it on my side.
And I don't that data, which is fairly limited, because you know they have the sample of all these primaries, but that's still not that many races. I don't know how many Senate races there are in that. Maybe none. So mm-hmm. who knows if that actually is true in Senate races as well?
Yeah, and it's funny how look, some guys in the mainstream media are smart, and I'll give Dave Weigel a shout out here. He's been following this probably the closest of anyone in, mm-hmm. in the press, and obviously The Intercept's done a wonderful job. Ryan Grimm's there tonight. He's doing it for the Young Turks, but he's also, of course, a huge part of The Intercept, and they've done a great job following this. They're not really mainstream media anyway, but for all those guys, it's amazing that they haven't caught on. If I was the New York Times after missing Ocasio-Cortez, like, Delaware's not that far. Let's mm-hmm. send so. I will have to ask Ryan. I think we're going to talk to him later tonight. Maybe they are there. But you know, if I was the Washington Post, I'd send someone because I think like winning a like incumbent losing a Senate seat would be huge. Mm-hmm. And if Kerry does win afterwards, they'll be like, "Whoa, my God, what is he doing?" But guys, are you not
book him?
Right. But are you not paying attention? She could obviously win. Look at all these upset victories that progressives have had, one after another after another. And are you not savvy enough to realize how small a state Delaware is, and hence the volunteers that progressive army shows up with could make a big, big difference in a small state?
Yeah.
And I think the answer is largely no, they're not that savvy.
Yeah, it appears that Dave has been trying. I've noticed him tweeting out articles from some of the reporters at The Intercept. We had a couple yesterday. Oh, man. Days fly by. Yesterday, we had Aida Chavez of The Intercept on, who's been following many of these races to break down David Garcia in Arizona. And he's been tweeting out those links and stuff like that. So he apparently is trying to keep up with this. I don't know in terms of like the big cable shows and stuff like that. I mean, they were all in a rush to have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on after she won. But I don't know. I mean, did they do that with Gillum before his race? Did they do that with Ayanna Press? Did they do that with anyone? Honestly, I don't know. So even in that situation where they appeared to be scrambling to at least appear to have learned a lesson, I don't know that they did learn the lesson. They certainly didn't apply it in the next month or two.
Yeah. No, it doesn't seem like they applied it at all. So obviously, Kerry Harris has a ton of volunteers. Some of the Just Democrat leaders went to her race like they did with Ocasio-Cortez. So that's why we, again, are a little bit optimistic about this, given a lot of the right metrics lining up on her side, and metrics that traditional press might not pay much attention to, but that has proven decisive in these elections. It's not hopeful thinking. You guys have seen it in election night after election night and how it's made a difference. By the way, another fun, cool fact, I'll get to that in a second. The results are supposed to come in now. Any results?
I just checked a second ago. I don't see results. I did want to say something because you talked about the traditional metrics that they pay attention to. And one thing that really shocks me about the media is obviously when it comes to these races, if they talk about primaries, which they generally don't, as we often say, what they will talk about is how much money you've been able to raise. And they talk about that a lot. But even with all the time that they spend on how much money they raise, they don't break it down any farther than the sheer amount. Mm-hmm. Like, so you said you predicted that he had gotten about 4% from small dollar donations. It's 2.86% according to Open Secrets. Like, I found that in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. How do they not even mention that? Like, okay, you say he's raised, you know, $2 million or whatever. Okay, how much of that was coming from actual people? And the thing was, it's bad in two ways. First of all, small dollar donations below $200 is less than 3%. But even large individual contributions, which are still ostensibly people, that's 35%. 62% just comes from PACs. Yeah. It's as divorced from actual human experience as money can possibly be. And that breakdown that we just revealed for you, have you ever seen that on CNN or MSNBC? It's not complicated. I didn't even script anything. We didn't even have any graphics to show you.
Yeah. No, look, sometimes I feel bad saying it. I don't revel in it at all, but I really think they're not very good at their job. And I know that they would probably be deeply offended at that. And that's why I feel bad saying it. But it's true. I mean, if you are telling people Tom Carper is the presumptive winner, and you have this. Now, he's an incumbent, so it's a little bit different. But even with non-incumbent races, they just say whoever has more money is more likely to win. Okay, that's a fair point. Okay, but then you got to move on to the next layer. They do frame it as if that means that they are somehow popular. Mm-hmm. And that's what they said about Jeb Bush. I mean, how many times have you to be wrong before you realize, hey, maybe money is not an indication that you're popular and that there are other factors involved, and it depends on the race. If it's a sleepy race in the middle of Wyoming that nobody's paying attention to, and one guy has 10 times the amount of money as the other one, another one doesn't have volunteers or doesn't have anything to hang his hat on, yeah, he's toast. He's going to lose. Okay. So on the other hand, if there are other factors, like Jeb Bush has a lot more money than Donald Trump and others in the presidential race, but there's so much free media in a presidential race, so that money doesn't matter as much. Can you just go one more layer to do that analysis?
Yeah.
And time after time, the establishment media doesn't. And now it might be because it might be because of their financial situation. And hey, we like those political advertising that goes to us, and that's money in our pocket. And so it's not that Wolf Blitzer thinks that or Anderson Cooper thinks that. It's just a top-down mentality that soaks into the organization. And it might just be that they're not very good at their job. Like, that does Anderson Cooper understand this concept that John talked about? He's never talked about it on air.
I'm sure he gets it. He just doesn't think about it. Or doesn't talk about it at the very least.
And most importantly, whatever his intent is or his intellect is or his acumen is in regards to politics, he certainly doesn't care. He doesn't think it's a relevant thing to discuss that all the money is coming from PACs. And so that is people looking to buy your votes.
Yeah.
And in fact, I remember Anderson Cooper's derisively, skeptically asking Bernie Sanders, are you saying that Hillary Clinton taking money from these organizations might mean that affected her vote?
Yeah.
And you know, Bernie's too nice. Of course, you know what I would have said. Goddamn right, that's what I'm saying, right? I think she is fundamentally corrupt and the American people know it. And
You don't buy something unless you want to own it.
Yes. And the point I always make that I have to confess I haven't seen anywhere else, maybe it's because I come from a business background, I went to business school, I run a company, is that you don't give a second time unless you got return on investment. Mm-hmm. And so Tom Carper for decades has been taking money from corporations because they keep getting return on investment.
Yeah.
And the CNNs, the MSNBCs of the world never, ever talk about it. MSNBC and primetime is theoretically progressive. When's the last time you saw them talking about, hey, look, this Democrat is taking all this PAC money, is taking all this corporate money. Well, obviously, they're getting something in return. Never, almost never. It's not because they're bad people. Chris Hayes is a really good guy. He's a really smart guy. But it's top down. It just, the whole organization says, don't pay attention to that. But in races like this, them not paying attention to it might catch up with them.
Yeah, and there are some issues where I've started to see, maybe just because I'm paying more attention to it, but like for instance, on Yemen, Chris Hayes has been talking a lot about Yemen, or like the border crisis, he's been talking a lot about it. But these sorts of more foundational, structural, monetary things that underlie so many different issues, they're not there yet. They're not there to questioning those things. They're starting to wake up on individual issues, which is good. It's better than nothing, but it's not the same as actually looking beyond the individual issues to the structural components that are shaping how all of this works. For instance, they keep saying, you know, the person who has more money is more likely to win, which is both true and incredibly misleading. either because it's convenient to say that, because then you don't have to do the work of covering all of the candidates who are making less money currently, or because most people have fundamentally no understanding of how causality actually works. Yes, if you have more money, you are more likely to win. But if there's a perception that you're more likely to win, you're also more likely to get more donations. And so that's causality that's working in both directions. And if you say, well, you know, like for instance, we obviously were very invested in the California Democratic Senate primary.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of candidates there. Other than one and kind of two, none of the rest got almost any media coverage because they weren't likely to win. So why talk about them, right? But no, but you're determining that through your coverage. You give only coverage to the people you think are likely to win, thus they're more likely to win, they get more donations, and thus they're more likely to win. You are participating in that cycle, even as you say that you don't want to be biased in going and giving so much extra coverage to people that you think don't have a chance.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's Schrodinger's cat. You're affecting the experiment by not covering those people. Mm-hmm. And so—
But covering the others. You're still putting your thumb on the scale.
100%. Look, mainstream media, they're not bad people. And the person writing for the LA Times is not incredibly wealthy and going, right? I am part of the establishment. But they accidentally aid and abet corruption. Because when you reward the people with more money from corporations and PACs with more coverage and give them, in a state like California, millions of dollars in free media coverage, you have aided and abetted that corruption. And when you shut out the other voices, well, you don't allow for dissent. You don't allow for a more flourishing democracy. And look, we're not unreasonable. So there was a ton of people in that California race as an example, right?
Yeah.
And you couldn't cover all of them. And I get it that they covered the Republican Nazi guy because, whoa, there's a Nazi. And in one poll, he was at 18%. We covered it. So we're not like nerds about it, right? We get it, right? Hey, there's a Nazi in the race and he might come in second. That's an interesting story, right?
Yeah.
But that's why I made the argument and have throughout this entire primary season that you should look at other metrics. How many volunteers do they have? How much social media engagement do they have? And there are a number of other factors that might give you an indication that they are going to win. So Ocasio-Cortez had a ton of volunteers. She had excellent social media engagement. How big or small is the state or district? What is the voting pattern there? Now, again, if you were doing your job and you cared and you lived and breathed this stuff like we do, you would look at all that and go, I think Ocasio-Cortez might have a chance. I think Gillum might have a chance, even though he's polling in fourth. I think that Kerry Harris might have a chance. And by the way, sometimes we're wrong. Kaniella Ng was polling in fourth, and I thought he was going to come and win just like Gillum did. But I was wrong. He didn't. Mm-hmm. And later, there are factors. And what I try to do is, and I talk to a lot of the candidates, whether they win or they lose, because what I'm trying to do is get better information for you guys, to serve you guys. So I realized that Kaniella later, sorry if I'm talking out of school too much, but actually didn't have a great volunteer base. And I was very surprised by that. I thought he had, but I was wrong about that. So my analysis was thrown off by that. And so and sometimes you could have a great volunteer base, do everything right like Brent Welder did. Knocked it out of the park.
And Kaniella was a great candidate in a lot of other ways.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and still lose. But it's an earnest effort to get at what the reality is, let alone, and we do two things here, and I know that's why it throws a lot of the rest of the media off. We do real analysis that is not skewed by our perspective, but that's why on the day of the election, even though the right wing loves to edit our videos and make it seem like, oh, we thought Trump was definitely gonna lose. No, Ben and I came on here and at the very beginning of the election day, we're worried. Like Trump has a real chance. We thought it was about 35% chance that he would win.
I thought it was lower.
Yeah.
I thought it was 15 to 25.
Yeah. So I remember Ben and I talking about that, and Huffington Post had it at 98.4%. And we said, that's preposterous. It's not that Hillary Clinton would win. Mm. That's not remotely true. You should be concerned. I sent out tweets on Saturday. Even in their right-wing montage, Steve O says, Cenk, I'm not buying your pessimism. Mm-hmm. Now, why would he say that, right? In the middle of our election coverage.
So I didn't hear that over your guys sobbing.
That's how the right wing frames it. But why do I tell you that? Because we didn't want Donald Trump to win, but our job is to give you an honest analysis of what might happen, right? Now, we also fight for change. So I want Kerry Harris to win. and every host has a different opinion. My opinion is it would be phenomenal if Gary Harris won. And that's why I encourage you guys to volunteer. Those are two separate parts. And I want to, as usual, thank our members because, one, you make all this possible. Two, I hope that we're giving you your bang for your buck, that this is analysis you're not seeing anywhere else.
Yeah.
And fighting for progressives in it. I mean, we're knee deep in it. So you
might. We're doing Delaware. It's the only state. It's literally the only state. There's like three races tonight.
I know.
But we're doing it.
We're going to get to the other two in a second. But I mean, look, and you might like some of those other hosts on MSNBC. You might dislike a lot of other ones. But first of all, I guess us two are the only show in town. Who else would even claim to be progressive that does video, right? Mm-hmm. But even, do you see any of their MSNBCs, the half or a third of their hosts that are progressive, do you see them going, wouldn't it be great if Kerry Harris won? Wouldn't it be great if Ocasio-Cortez won? No, they're like, hey, whatever. Whatever. I mean, at a best case scenario, my That's real opinion weird. Is that they're rooting for the incumbents. Okay?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I
wish I could just really talk to them, like off camera. A few of them. I don't care about a lot of them, but I'm saying the ones who seem on the edges progressive, like a little bit, I want to have an honest conversation with them. I'll give them some truth serum or whatever. I just want to really know what they think and why it is that they're so hands off. I mean, we have your experience where you were not hands off when you were on there, and so you got booted. So
maybe, that's why you have your
maybe
answer.
Maybe it's just fear. Maybe it's just
fear. Of course. Right?
But
that's why they. But that's what they did with me is, and so many others. It's not an accident. It's not the bug. It's the feature. Mm-hmm. So you think the people who are on there now didn't get the memo? They got the memo. And some of them pushed the envelope as much as they could, which is not very much, but they're trying. And when Ocasio-Cortez wins, I suspect that one or two of them were like, right? Because I like them, okay? And they're good people, and I run into them, and they really are decent, smart, good people, right? But on air, they're not allowed to root for progressives. And they do Democratic talking points. Let's keep it real.
Think of how slanted the playing field is. Like, they have to be like, I don't care if it's Trump or Hillary Clinton. Like, they have to say that. Whereas Tucker Carlson's like, Trump is the only one who will save us from the blacks killing all the farmers. Like, it's as slanted as it could possibly be. Every night.
By the way, if you want to be a member and support that, tyt.com/join. We appreciate it. We're in the middle of a membership drive. We'll see if we're, we were trying to get to 30,000 by the end of today. It's a tough goal. It's a tough goal, but we like to aim big. Hopefully, you could participate in that.
Actually, I'm just curious. There's been some great tweets going out saying usually like me and you and Anna are tagged in them. If you become a member today, tweet me and just say why you became a member. I'm just curious. I would love to know. And I love getting to know you guys online. And then follow The Damage Report on Twitter, twitter.com/TheDamageReport.
Okay. Yeah. And by the way, John Susan, every day morning I walk by and I see you in here doing the show. And I think you know what I thought today? Not only would it be great to watch it, I'm like, instead of having to go to my next meeting if I just came in and just watched it, but I was like, I want to be back on.
Yeah, it was fun. You were on the first live episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So members get John's podcast as well, tyt.com/join. In fact, here, let's check in. We got it? All right, let's see where we are right now. Okay, 29,596. That's not that far off.
Wait, what was it two nights ago? It was 28,300
or something? No, yeah, we started at 27,661.
Damn.
And if you're just watching this and you haven't been watching the last couple of days when we started to drive, as usual, what we're doing is kind of mental. You're not supposed to tell people how many paid subscribers you have. We're telling you by the minute. Right?
When I saw the graphic being made that had the number on it, I was like, what the hell is he thinking? why are you putting that?
It's almost as if our brand is honesty. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I was going to mention earlier is what's really cool is that Ocasio-Cortez went to go campaign and knock on doors for Kerry Harris. Mm-hmm. You know why? Kerry Harris interrupted her campaigning in Delaware remember, before Ocasio-Cortez, it wasn't that long ago, before Ocasio-Cortez won, nobody knew about Ocasio-Cortez, and nobody thought she was gonna win. Mm. The polls had her way down, and Kerry Harris is like, no, I believe in my sister. I believe in my fellow Just Democrat. She drove up to New York and knocked on doors for Ocasio-Cortez. How cool is that, man? That's the Justice League.
That was a good investment.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so, by the way, the unsung heroes, Breonna Westbrook, went and helped so many other Just Democrats.
Yeah.
And they didn't win, and so people then might not know about Breonna, and she might not get a lot of the acclaim, but we know, and we appreciate it. We appreciate it in a winning effort, but we also appreciate it in a losing effort. Because if you don't make that effort, you never get to the wins.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of those Just Democrats that are those unsung heroes. And so I wanted to give a shout out to both of them for working together so effectively.
Yeah.
Man, it would be great if Kara Harris won tonight.
Oh my God. We'd be coming at him from the House. We'd be coming at him from the Senate.
Soon
the White House. Oh God.
Show me the caucus.
So I did want to mention one other race that is worth paying attention to. I've been trying through the course of these primary coverages to remind you of how important these attorney general and the district attorney races are, because you know you get them from both sides there, and you can get actual criminal justice reform and reform of a number of different areas inside these states. And in the attorney general's Democratic primary, Christopher Johnson is endorsed by Real Justice PAC. That's the PAC working to get progressives elected into these criminal justice adjacent positions. And they've had a number of wins, including in Massachusetts 2 days ago. And so they do have an endorsement of Christopher Johnson there. No results so far, though.
Okay, so we're going to take our first break in a second. But you know who's not getting enough credit? Real Justice PAC. Mm-hmm. Apparently, if you have the word justice in your title, okay, you're good to go, and you're going to get good, outstanding results. But man, almost every election night, I feel like we're saying Real Justice PAC wins again, another attorney general, or DA, or local prosecutor. So Sean King, amazing job, should get a ton of credit, along with everyone else working on that.
And he finds time to do it while also being the highest profile Nazi hunter on the planet right now.
How cool a title is that?
That's pretty awesome, yeah.
Cousin, we're in the Nazi hunting business. And business is a booming.
He's gotten a few.
To paraphrase Sean King.
Yeah, he has not scalped anyone, as far as I know.
Give him time. Okay, so we're going to take our first break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about, is there anything going on the Republican side? Is there any other races? And well, obviously, we'll give you results if we have them. We'll take your comments. So we're taking the member comments first. So tyt.com/join, become a member, go to the members comment section. Hashtag TYT Live on Twitter. Of course, always YouTube Super Chat. We appreciate, and we'll read those comments as well. And then also want to, since you and I didn't do this show together today, I want to touch on the day's news a little bit. Okay. You got an update on Rudy Giuliani?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's do that when we return. All right, back on the Young Turks. Election night coverage tonight is Delaware. It's a small state, but it could be one giant step for mankind. because Kara Harris has a decent shot at defeating incumbent Tom Carper in Delaware, and that would be an earthquake. Now, I want to give you guys some of the comments that you're sharing with us. And I love the first one. It's a TYT viewer that tweeted in. His name is Brent Welder. And he said, as usual, setting in to watch election coverage on hashtag TYT Live with Cenk and John. If you're a progressive and not a member yet, go right now to tytnetwork.com/join. You'll be glad that you did. Thank you, Brent. We appreciate it. Brent, of course, ran as a Just Democrat himself in Kansas' 3rd District and came within 2 points of winning, ran a terrific campaign. And by the way, guys, the TYT audience raised about $100,000 for Brent. So that's no joke.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've raised a lot of money for a lot of these candidates. You've volunteered for a lot of these candidates. So some of these victories are most certainly yours. And in fact, here, I'm going to go to TJ Phillip, also on Twitter. John, you asked people to tag you and tell you why they became a member. TJ writes in, I became a member 5 years ago today, I think. Probably not today. I like his indecisiveness. And I like that he wrote all of that in the tweet. He said, but I did it because I want to be able to tell my kids one day I was part of that. And that's neat, and it's absolutely right. Any, if you've ever given to a candidate, you've given to us, you're a member here, you're a member of Wolfpack, you are 100% part of that. And no one can take that away from you. So all those wonderful victories were your victories. And so, in fact, I'm going to go to a member now. Gabrielle Carmen Del PR Carlson Merida. Oh, that's Gabby Merida. Okay, okay.
She's adding a new vowel each night.
Yeah, yeah. The Spanish amuse me with all their names. Okay, says, I hope tonight continues the trend begun in Massachusetts this week. I live in Massachusetts 7th District. Oh, that's mm-hmm. Ayanna's district. So you were in that district. That's awesome. And was so excited when Ayanna Pressley won. I was bouncing off the walls all night on Tuesday and hope the same will continue tonight in Delaware. I don't just want a blue wave. I want a progressive wave. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. As Greg Edwards says, any old blue just won't do.
That was a good line.
Another good unsung hero of the Just Democrats ran in Pennsylvania. So now I'm going to get one more for you, John, from Twitter. I became a member today. I started watching back in 2016 primary season and was instantly hooked. You guys deliver honest, objective, hard-hitting commentary on the issues the mainstream media doesn't have the guts to. All right, thank you. We appreciate that. Only problem is I don't see your name. So, but thank you anyway. We'll try to get that.
It's the anonymous person inside the White House. Mm-hmm. The resistor.
Okay, I have a Rhode Island update, but I have some more comments. I'm going to read those, etc. First, actually, let me, because we've been talking about members real quick. Let's check in on the number and see how we're doing there. We're past 600, 29,609 new members. And if you guys can sign up to be an activist, there are some extra benefits to being an activist. And it really helps support independent media. And we super appreciate it. Okay, and some members are also writing in questions. I'll answer some of those in a second. But John, let's just go through whatever little races there are in Delaware so people know what the situation is.
Okay, we basically have, because there's none. And as you are obviously aware, there's no results yet, which is odd in a state of 12 people. But we're primarily interested, obviously, in the Democratic Senate primary race in Delaware, Tom Carper versus Kerry Harris. On the Republican side there, you have three candidates. Rocky, you have two Rockies. So two of the 12 people in Delaware are named Rocky. One is Bullwinkle. So Rocky Arlett is a Sussex County Council member. Then you have Rocky De La Fuente running for Senate in multiple states this year.
Yeah.
Like literally running in multiple states.
You mentioned Rocky De La Fuente before we came on air, and I was like, why does that name sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
So how is he even allowed to run in different states?
I have no idea. Runs everywhere. Has run for president multiple times, run for Senate many times, Reform Party candidate. He created his own party that was endorsed by the Reform Party. So it's complex to follow. Go to Wikipedia. There's several people like this. Austin has another perennial candidate. I forget the name, but there have been a few. They just run over and over.
Could you imagine? It turns out it is the right strategy. One day he just catches lightning in a bottle and he wins. And he's like, I knew it. I knew it. I got to move to South Carolina right away. He somehow obviously finds a way to skirt the residency laws.
Apparently, yes.
In a way, that, unless he's one of the richest guys in the country and he just has houses in all these different states.
By the way, Arlett is leading in the polling and is also leading in the first. Oh my God, we just jumped up to 48% reporting.
Oh, all right, that's happened sometimes from 0 to 48. So screw all the other races. Carry
okay,
on.
So, I mean, are you sure that you want to? It's not looking amazing. We're still in a race though. 48% reporting. Tom Carper is at 63.2% of the vote to Kerry Harris's 36.8%, which is not how we would have liked to have seen that first set jump out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's do some analysis. That's 36.8 for again a challenger nobody's heard of getting outspent 10-1 is a solid beginning at 48% reporting. But at the same time, 48% is not a small number. It's not 4%, it's not 12%. I love when I state the obvious. And so kind of tough to come back from that. So let's get a couple more updates. But it's in the old days, these challengers with no money, they'd come in at 7%, 3%. Hey, look at that, jumped up to 11%. Maybe they got a career later, right? So coming out of the gate at around 37, you get a sense that we're in a different environment. It's a different day now in America. They have a real chance, but right now that doesn't look that great for the likelihood of winning. But here's what I would love to tell you going forward. Here comes Kerry Harris. Yeah. So you never know. Happened with Kara Eastman famously at the Bell, right at the very end, the 100th precinct came in and put her over the top.
And I mean Trevino.
Oh yeah, here comes Rex Trevino from fourth.
Fourth, and then worked his way up. And Anita Malik actually won. It was too close to call when we finished our election results, and then had won the next day.
Susan Smith, same thing.
Yeah. So I am looking at the three counties, and I'm not necessarily seeing anything here that's encouraging. Sussex County is the second largest. About half of that has come in, but he has about a 40-point advantage there. Wilmington is by far the largest. We have over half of those. He has a smaller lead, but a lead there. And the only county that doesn't have any precincts reporting is Kent County. There's about 65, which is not a gigantic portion of the total. It's about 20%. So she would have to do pretty overwhelmingly well there to make up for what looks like it'll be the results in the other two counties.
The county not reporting is Kent?
Kent County, yeah, where Dover is.
Kent County, it's got just Democrat written all over it.
Can't count her out.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we can't in that case.
We're up to 53% reporting, and it looks about the same so far.
Okay, and as we explain throughout all these election nights, the more the precincts come in, the harder it is for the person trailing to overcome it, because then, so let's do some math here. Let's call it 64-36, okay? So the math is gonna get pretty daunting pretty quickly. So that's what, a 28-point lead, right?
Yeah.
So you have to, and let's say that it's 50-50, it's about 53% good enough. So you have to win the next 50%, not by 28 points, but by 56 points.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and obviously all these results, like, they're coming in over time, but they were all voted at the same time. It's not like the things that happen now during our reporting can influence it, but it is more fun if you pretend that that's the case.
Yeah, so we will.
We do.
Okay. All right, a little bit more came in, but they're in about the same poll position. You never know what could happen. Okay, and if you get out there and you will not be able to vote, but still.
Most of Kent has now come in, and he has about as large of a lead as he does in the other two counties, unfortunately. Larger than Newcastle County, the bigger one.
Okay.
Rocky De La Fuente, by the way, on the Republican side, who I don't know has ever been to Delaware, I'm not entirely sure, is at 5.2%.
Here comes Rocky De La Fuente. He keeps getting knocked down, but he won't stay down. He's back up. Apollo Creed better watch himself.
We're up to 69% of the vote, and it looks like almost the exact same percentage breakdown, 64-36.
Oh, well.
So okay. That's unfortunate.
So that means she's not going to win. Let's see those numbers. Can we pull those numbers up? So our job is to keep it real. That is a lead that is too large. I'm surprised they haven't called it yet.
Consider, like, he's the incumbent. He's been a politician in Delaware, a public figure, for 721 years. They all know him, and he has every dollar that exists. And still, she's at 36% against an incumbent.
Oh, man. But so Ben and I, last night on Old School, talked about appetizers and how they're God's food.
I did a movie night recently, because we got a projector, we do outdoor movie nights. All we had was appetizers.
Well, that's the correct thing
to
do. That's right. So, but 2018 is the appetizer here. We're just warming up. So 2020, all those incumbents better watch themselves. So, and when they see this, my guess is they're like, what? A person with no money that we never heard of got 36% of the vote against Carper, our beloved Carper.
Yeah.
So more results. It looked like
we
from
have
your
a
face.
Call. It has been called for Tom Carper.
Yeah. Well, ugh. we don't get it wrong. So okay, Carper wins. 72% report. It doesn't matter. He won.
Yeah, he won. The Republican who was leading in the early polling is at almost 70%. He's going to easily win to run against and probably lose to Tom Carper, especially in this election. Man, if you're going to be a mediocre Democrat in the general election, this is a good one to sort of in a blue state to easily take you past the line and not really have to make a case for yourself. Yeah. Unfortunately, Christopher Johnson in the Attorney General's race is currently in third at 15%.
I'm going to do some analysis in a second. It's funny, like we're like, oh, like 45 minutes in and there's no results. A couple of minutes later, it's over.
Okay. That was a fast one.
Yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Okay, hold, don't go. I'm partly kidding. And we're going to do a post game for you guys. I promised you something in the post game. Oh, when my teachers went on strike, what did we do and what did they do? Because teachers are going on strike in Washington. We'll talk about that as well as some other. And we promised you the Rudy Giuliani thing. We'll do that in the post game too about that. But
can I mention this Ted Cruz thing just because it just bothers me? I dislike Ted Cruz, not as much as Donald Trump, but Ted Cruz is terrible. So he's doing a rally tonight, and they bring up O'Rourke constantly. And so this is a quote from an article I saw. At every mention of O'Rourke's name, the crowd booed and hissed. During Cruz's speech, one man yelled, quote, send him back to Ireland. The senator chuckled, pausing his well-rehearsed stump speech. Glancing up at the crowd, he smiled and said, that's good. He said that, probably thinking, I was born in Canada.
And my
he wasn't born here, and they're joking about sending O'Rourke, who was, back home.
No,
which is Texas.
Now get a load of all the. There's so many layers of irony there. Ted Cruz had said that Beto O'Rourke made up the name Beto to try to sound Latino. Okay, and so Beto sent a picture of himself when he was like 3, wearing a shirt that said Beto. Okay, so he was too Latino, now he's too Irish.
Too Irish.
When in reality, Ted Cruz is Latino.
And Canadian.
And Canadian, and his parents immigrated from Cuba.
Yeah, which okay. All of that is fine, so long as you're not completely hypocritical on the issue.
Yeah, but I do enjoy that we have the party that, let's keep it real, is more racist. Not everybody in the party is racist, but certainly more racist, no question about that, if you're a rational person who's looking at American politics. Being now, all of a sudden, like they got so riled up by Ted Cruz, they're like, send somebody back to Ireland. Yeah. What?
there is a 50% chance that CNN will interview a Cruz voter who says, I can't support Beto O'Rourke because when Ted Cruz says his wife was ugly, he didn't stand up for her. It's like nothing is real anymore. Nothing matters.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to read two comments. I'll do the summary. Then we'll do the post game. Amber the Brave wrote in, can someone please educate me to where the members message thing is? Can't find it. No problem, Amber. I believe it's no problem if I've got this right. I don't know if you know this, but usually when the show is on, I'm here. So I don't get a chance to do the member comments. But I believe that you go to tyt.com/live. So you can watch on YouTube live as well. YouTube.com/TYT. But if you watch on TYT.com/live, that's our website, the member comments should be right underneath the video. So if you're a member and you're signed in as a member, that's where you could talk to all the other members, and I'm more likely to read your comments.
Yeah.
Okay.
And can I read a comment actually?
Yes.
Because I just saw this. I apologize if this is one that you have read. I think it's relatively new. But Melissa Matrice, can we swear?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. At Melly Bitch says, to make me sit down for my IV hydration, my husband puts on #TYT. He knows I'll be glued to you guys and love getting red on air. So thank you, Cenk Uygur. You are literally helping keep me healthy.
That's awesome.
Same to Anna, myself, Brett, and JR. Chronic illness is difficult, and due to Trump, it's been even harder lately. You guys give me hope, not just for me, but for my daughter's generation. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
It's good.
Thank you, Melly Bitch. That's her name.
I know. Look, no matter what happens, doing this with you guys, it's a ton of fun. And look, it's a battle, right? The politics is a battle. Everything's a battle. But at least we're in it together. So it's a hell of an adventure. So thank you guys. Thanks for being with us.
That made me think of something. I apologize. I know we want to go to the. So she says, you guys give me hope, not just for me, but for my daughter's generation. The hope that, if I'm not reading too much into that, that her daughter will be better off than she was, which is supposed to be how every generation works, that we should be improving. That's what progress is about. That's what progressivism is about. And I've been watching the Kavanaugh hearing way too much. And I was talking about it with my guest, Piper Perabo, on Damage Report this morning. And I thought, the one thing this guy is hiding behind is that he's a good family man. But he wants his daughter to have less rights when she grows up than his wife does now. Like, how fundamentally un of a good family man are you when you want to move backwards? You think she's got it too good now. When she's an adult, she probably shouldn't have a career. She certainly should not have control over her own body. I don't know. I don't know how many orange slices you have to hand out after soccer practice to make up for that as a family man.
Yeah. By the way, we reported at the end of the regular show that Duncan Hunter Jr. apparently was caught in not one, not two, not three, not four, but five extramarital affairs. And I forgot to tell you in the show, if you go to his website, the main thing he emphasizes is family values. Well, to be fair to him, he might have a number of families, so he apparently values them a lot.
Yeah. How much, could Jake? You have one family. You clearly don't value it enough.
Okay. I also want to see the update on the membership count. Do we have it? Okay. Hey, there we go. All right. 29,620. You guys are amazing. So one last comment from a member, and then I'll do the summary. Nina writes in, I don't know if it's Nina Turner, she does have a podcast on the TYT Network. Okay, Nina writes in, what do you guys think of Kamala Harris and her chances of being president? Do you think she's progressive enough? So I think she has an excellent chance of becoming president. I think the next president is almost certainly going to be a Democrat. And Kamala Harris is most likely the pick of the establishment. And that doesn't mean she's not a progressive. There'll be a great debate around that. But is she taking a lot of PAC money? Yes. Are a lot of the Hillary Clinton supporters, donors, staffers gravitating towards Kamala Harris? Yes. Does that give me pause? Yes.
Yes.
So her
she doesn't take corporate PAC money, but she does take other PAC money.
Yeah. And so to be fair, she has now come to a lot of these great progressive positions, including not taking corporate PAC money now. And by the way, other progressives take PAC money too from unions, etc. So fair is fair. And she now is for Medicare for all. But we all saw, and we follow politics, we saw Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Kirsten Gillibrand all move together on Medicare for all, not taking corporate PAC money, on all these different issues all at once. They're all thinking of running for president. So on the one hand, I'm super happy to see him come in our direction. On the other hand,
yeah,
that's got to engender some sort of skepticism. If we don't tell you about that, again, we're not doing our job.
Yeah.
So
I would say I don't know about her chances necessarily, just in terms of, again, it's super early. But the polling I've seen, she tends to rank lower than several of the other. The people in the exact same classification in terms of the senators who are moving now to look more progressive and everything. I think she seems really smart. I love watching her in like these hearings and stuff, tearing people apart and thinking, God, I hope that she never asks me a tough question because I'll just start crying. I'll admit everything. But I don't know.
She was a prosecutor, of course.
She was a prosecutor, and it shows when she puts like her hands like right like this and looks at you, it's kind of scary. But in terms of how strong a progressive she is, that remains to be seen with actual action. The policy positions that she staked out are fine, but that is literally step one. We really do have to watch. I will say, if it makes you feel any better, I mean, does anyone doubt that she and Kirsten Gillibrand and Cory Booker are not more liberal than Hillary Clinton at the very least?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Clearly,
yeah,
at the very least,
yeah.
And probably more so than Barack Obama, I would imagine.
I think she's probably very similar to Barack Obama. That's my guess. And the establishment sees very similar things there. Like, mm-hmm. She says a lot of progressive things, but we think she's worth our money. So
yeah, keep watching.
Yeah, yeah. And look, did some things in the past, like letting Steve Mnuchin off the hook when she was a prosecutor. That was not good, but she's had a lot of good votes too.
Yeah.
So, all right, but we'll 2020 is coming, trust me. Okay, and we'll talk a lot about that for probably at least a year. All right, Sean, last tweet, because this one's a good one. Sean Morris says, today I finally upgraded from TYT Insider to TYT Activist. Mm. I'm so proud of these people and I love everything they do at the Young Turks. Being from Alabama, it is hard to find like-minded people here. Keep up the great work, Cenk and Anna and the rest. Thank you, Sean, appreciate it. Been in your fine state a number of times. One of the best civil rights museum I went to was a tiny little museum in Mobile, Alabama, but it was fantastic. I learned a lot from it. Hmm. Almost worked in Huntsville, Alabama. Told that story in the post games.
One of my best friends is from Alabama.
Okay. Some of our best friends are from Alabama.
They are.
Okay. Roll Tide. Okay. TYT.com/join to get the post game. Oh, I keep saying two more things. I got to let you know about Matt Brown. So Matt Brown is running for governor, and he's a wonderful progressive. I interviewed him on Rebel Headquarters in Rhode Island. This guy could be the next Andrew Gillum. He's super dynamic. He was earlier the Secretary of State in Rhode Island, I believe, and set up an organization that it was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. So go out there and join him. What he's going to do is do a walk. I've done one of these walks. They're hard. Okay, but bless his heart. So 45-mile walk through Rhode Island, Matt Brown for Rhode Island governor, starting September 7th, obviously very soon, 3 p.m. Eastern from Woonsocket. That's an awesome name. Ending September 10th, 5:30 p.m. at Narragansett, Rhode Island. #suckit.
I'm not sure about the last part.
Yeah, no, and he right now Matt Brown's going, I'm not with him.
He's walking away.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, why do you think I have my walking shoes on? So that is, it ends on Monday night, it starts tomorrow. So please donate and volunteer for his campaign. It's mattbrownforgovernor.com. mattbrownforgovernor.com. That would also be a fantastic win. So Delaware is not the end. We are very, very close to the end of the primary season, but I believe next Wednesday is that election. And John and I will cover for you and we'll see what else we can do. So summary for tonight. So tonight was a small election, just the state of Delaware. Almost no relevant races except for one very relevant race. That was Kerry Harris, the Just Democrat, challenging Tom Carper, a corporate Democrat, very conservative Democrat in the state of Delaware, which is blue and should not have a conservative Democrat. But they do again because Tom Carper has won tonight. Kerry Harris got about 36% of the vote. That is an excellent showing for a new candidate, yes, with no name recognition who was outspent 10-1. Now, of course, we're not in this for great showings. We're in this for victories. Yes. And we have had a lot, we've been spoiled with a lot of victories recently. Just Democrats, so far in this primary season, have won 26 times. 26 Just Democrats have moved on to the general election. There are going to very, very likely be 7 of them in Congress next year around, because there was already 3 incumbents, Ro Khanna, Raul Grijalva, and Pramila Jayapal. Now 4 of them are in deeply blue districts, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and now Ayanna Pressley from earlier this week. So the victories keep rolling in. If you're wondering where to find out about candidates, there are still 3 Justice Democrats left who have primaries in the rest of this season, including Rhode Island next week, a couple of important ones. And then obviously, once the primary is over, which is very soon, you got to go help them win those general elections. So the ones I told you about are near guarantees. We'll keep it real with you, okay? Mm-hmm. But the others, and there is obviously 19 others so far, there are some really tough races, and donations, because they don't take any corporate PAC money, make a giant difference. Volunteering makes a giant difference. So justicedemocrats.com/candidates to be able to see who your local Just Democrat is and to help them. Tonight, not the result we wanted, but Kerry Harris did a wonderful job. So there's the link. We'll have it down below for you if you're watching later on YouTube or Facebook. And Ocasio-Cortez went to go help her. A lot of her team went to go help her. A lot of you guys went to help her. We appreciate it. So no victory tonight, but as we keep telling you, 2018 is a warm-up act for 2020. And so when you have people like Kerry Harris, who now has built up a significant amount of name recognition in the state of Delaware, that puts her in a fantastic position to run for that office or a different office. And now we have all these progressives, even the ones that didn't win, Greg Edwards, Brent Welder, Kerry Harris, with these good showings, Abdul El Sayed in Michigan, who have an excellent chance of winning the next time around if they choose to pursue this again. And this is how we build a movement. So as always, thank you for being with us live at tyt.com/live. And thank you to the members for making this happen. And you guys can watch all of this coverage anytime you want. And of course, you go to tyt.com/join to become a member. So we'll see you guys in Rhode Island. Okay, post game coming up for the members. We'll talk about Rudy Giuliani, and we'll talk about the teacher strike when I was in junior high, and and the some of the shenanigans that happened there. That was actually a little bit shocking as a kid.
I have no idea what this is about.
Right, because remember, I'm old. So back then, when you had strikes, there were strikes. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
So I'll tell you about that during the post game. We'll see you there, members.